You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
All right. So, as many of you know, for the Inside Launch Street podcast, we're experimenting, right? We're innovating with a new approach. Part of that is we stream the actual interviews live. And as you can tell, if you've been watching, we're batching. We're doing four today, back to back, actually. And part of the reason we're doing this for you, so everyone knows, is really two reasons. One is we discovered people wanted more interviews with me to talk about innovation and to really dig deep on human-centered innovation. And they love the guests that we're bringing on who are doing the interviews because it peppers in this incredible knowledge and perspective that we didn't have versus maybe just interviewing straight guests, which is totally different. And we're doing them live because the other feedback we got is, Tamara, you have all this great stuff to say, or you interview people or people interview you, and then it takes 4 months just because of scheduling, right, to actually get it out into the world. So we were supposed to wait 4 months to get some insights on innovation, how we can be better innovators. And I realized, oh yeah, why don't we stream them while we're on Zoom anyway? It's where I've been since 8 o'clock this morning. So let's just stream. So with all that, let's get to today's number 3 of 4, actually. I accidentally put 2 or 3 earlier. Podcast interview with my favorite person, good friend, colleague, and business mentor, Chris Besh, who runs the company Choose People. And you said it best, right? You solve sticky people challenges. And I think this topic could not be more relevant in both of our worlds, which is we're going to talk about why debate, arguing, disagreement, constructive conflict, as I call it, is so critical to innovation and to culture. So Chris, take a second to say hi and introduce yourself, and then we'll dig in.
Hello, everyone. I'm super excited to be with you. As Tamara said, my name is Chris Besh. I'm the CEO of Choose People. And we support organizations in creating extraordinary workplace cultures by dealing with those really like tough issues around like gossip and drama and entitlement and silos and like all that good jazz. That's our jam. So really excited to be here with you, Tamara, and can't wait to discuss.
Let's do it.
Conflict.
I feel like I gotta hunker down for this conflict.
I know, right? Like, all right, sister, we got this. Like, let's do it.
I'm ready. Let me warm up.
We got this. Yeah. So tell me, just like big picture, tell me a little bit about your thinking and why constructive conflict is so mission critical to innovation.
Well, let me start with a story that will make you fall over. So I hope you're actually sitting down and not standing, because I know you've experienced this. I know a lot of us have experienced this. So I was working with a large soda company, a global company, and my job in this meeting was not to facilitate. My job was actually to be like an internal innovator, poke the bear, like an external person to just give some naive intelligence, maybe push the team a little bit. Maybe they've gotten a little bit stuck in their thinking, which happens to all of us. So the facilitator rents this super swanky loft in New York City. Like, it's all like everything is white and the pillars are like in weird places and beautiful and the chairs are stark and there's light. Like, it's all like an old warehouse looking place. It was gorgeous. Like, I wanted this place as my home. It was beautiful. So we all get together and we're all sitting in a circle, and which is awkward actually a little bit in itself, like this just big campfire circle. I don't know. It was weird. But that wasn't the part that really made this pop up for me. The facilitator got up there and said, all right, we're gonna be working through some sticky challenges. We got to figure out what in the strategy is not working and what we want to change and where we're headed with the brand. It's kind of a big conversation, right? Like, this is all the VPs and stuff at this meeting, adults, which matters. So go with me. So the person goes up there and says, but I want us to have a yes and day, right? So when someone says something, if you're inclined to say yes, but you have to say yes, and you can only build on what someone says. Hmm. I know some of you are out there probably nodding like, right, innovation, right? Like, yes, and it's got its time and place. but you couldn't say yes, but at all. You couldn't do anything that showed that you debated. And in fact, if you wanted to challenge someone, you had to use this language. Chris, I have a clarifying question for you. Does that just make you want to throw up in your mouth? It does for me. It's like, what does that even mean? And I know you're debating me, so just say it, right? So here's what happened. Because that we were forced into this communication style that didn't allow for true conflict, debate in a meaningful, vulnerable, and respectful way, like we were forced to have this superficial language, no innovation came out of the day, no conversation came out of the day, the whole day was groupthink, and the strategy was crap. So that night, the client pulled me aside and said, "What'd you think?" And I always try to be very respectful of other people's styles, right? I know that my style of facilitation probably doesn't work for other people. Totally fine. And I just said, you know, I think he has really good intentions with that. I think, unfortunately, we might want to start debating and really thinking through if we're heading the right direction and maybe getting some argument going. Like, I know Bob and Greg over here don't agree. So, like, I think we need to have – those elephants are going to be looming if we don't have this conversation. So all of that is to say – debate, constructive conflict, whatever you want to call it, is vital to innovation. And when we shut it down and we don't allow for that, we actually shut down innovation. We shut down our ability to innovate. We shut down the team's ability to innovate. We don't get to those meaningful outcomes that we're looking for. And I'm sure you see this too. I do believe that constructive conflict has to be respectful and done in a way that's debating ideas, not people. But I think we've got to have it. And here's the thing, right? We don't have the right answer out of the gate. We need some debate. And I don't know if this happens to you, Chris, but if you come to me with an idea and I go, I might think differently about that, and here's why. All I'm really doing is strengthening your idea. I'm just giving you an opportunity to battle test it a little bit. So conflict is key to innovation. That innovation happens in tension. It doesn't happen when we yes and each other all day long. And that meeting still sticks with me to this day. And that was probably 17, 18 years ago.
Well, and it's just so perfect. Cause again, I can hear, like you said, he had good intentions.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it didn't get to the outcomes and the remarkable results that you all were there to make happen.
Yeah.
What I hear is like, he was trying to create psychological safety.
Yes. But
instead, there was just this weird, I don't even know what the word is, this weird agreement that wasn't really, like you said, it was forced.
Yeah.
I know one of the things that I do, and I wonder if you do this too, especially when you know the topic's going to be challenging, is put in place a whole bunch of ground rules, like a whole bunch of, a whole bunch of ground rules and agreements around like, hey, like we're more committed to the success of the whole, right, than to like personal agendas, and where like no one gets to steamroll or bully or like take us off on crazy tangents. And you just have these agreements that create that psychological safety. But then from there, it's like, all right, let's dig in. Like, where are people at? Where's people's thinking? Like, where do you align? Where do you find that there's a gap between your thinking and someone else's thinking? So yeah, I think that's really interesting. The intention was there, but it didn't get communicated. Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit about psychological safety because I touched on this in my work quite a bit. I think it's important. And Google's done some really interesting studies that show that teams that have psychological safety are not only happier as a culture, they actually outperform teams that don't. And I think vulnerability and trust and some of those things are the kind of the bedrock of that psychological safety. But here's the thing, right? Without that debate, we don't get to those meaningful outcomes. We need it to make our thinking and our ideas stronger. The challenge is, and I've learned this in years of, you know, and the tens of thousands of people across the globe that have taken our innovation assessment that tells you your style of innovation. Here's the thing. What we've discovered in that, right, is we all have these unique and everyday innovator styles. So Chris, the way you innovate is different than me, and the way, you know, Jill over here on the team is different. That causes friction because the way I think is different than the way you think and different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. The beauty is if you can understand and leverage that, you can actually come together for a greater outcome, like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts or whatever that. I never get the phrases right, so hopefully that made sense, but you know what I mean. But the key is you have to understand how to leverage that friction and turn it into something positive versus letting it be friction. And I think the mistake we make on teams in particular is we either try to conform and fit in so that we're all coming from the same place, and that leads to junk ideas. They're not battle tested, they're not strengthened, or we let the friction take over and we don't see our differences as something that actually is valuable. Mm-hmm. But without debate and without disagreement, the ideas are vanilla at best.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because you and I were talking a little bit about this offline, this vanilla piece, right? If you're just trying to get this consensus, this like weird, wimpy consensus.
Ooh, someone's at the door.
I know. It's gotta love the whole Zoom. Zoom life. And I could go on a tangent about one of my clients and like his sons bringing the monster like toy to like take his hat off, like as he's trying to make a really serious point with his team. But in any event, but it's like that whole like, oh, we just all have to agree. It's like, ooh, like, no, we actually don't. And that friction is powerful. Like it actually, it's really, really powerful. And if we can all just be really excited and generative of like, okay, what are we creating here together? And that we're each like in the flow of the, like it just is, yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with you.
So I'm going to share a movie scene that I know is fiction. I'm not sure it's a zombie movie, so it may not be fiction at this point. I'm not sure. But let me just share the scene with you because I love zombie movies. But this to me says it all. So have you seen World War Z, the zombie movie with Brad Pitt?
I haven't. Okay. I'll have to add that to a zombie movie. Brad Pitt. How can you say no?
Right. If you don't love zombie movies, don't watch it. But there's so the bottom line is the virus has taken over and zombies are everywhere and they're fast, right? They're like really bad. And I have a whole axis of zombies, but we'll get to that later. So Brad Pitt is sent across the world to figure out like kind of ground zero, like where this came from, what happened, so that we can figure out how to fight the zombies. So he makes his way to Israel. And Israel happens to be the only country that built a wall around it to keep out the zombies before everybody else. Like they knew it was coming. And he's in this Jeep with the commander in, I think it's Jerusalem. And he's saying to him, how did you guys know? How did you know? And he said, we have something here called the 10th man. And the job of the 10th man is that when everybody else is headed in one direction, when everybody else agrees, our job is to prove the opposite is true, no matter what. And I love that scene. And again, I know it's fiction, but that idea of like, hey, conflict and arguing and proving everybody else wrong is actually a really positive thing, I think is really powerful. And so my advice to people out there is you need to have the vulnerability and the trust and the respect and all that, and make it okay to debate, like make that part of the process. It's totally okay, but we're so afraid of it. And I think sometimes as leaders, we do things that shut it down. I've done this, so I'm going to throw myself under the bus. I'd go, again, because I'm super declarative in how I speak too. I've really had to work on this. I'll go into a meeting, whether it's virtual or live, doesn't matter, and I'll be like, all right, team, so here's my idea.
Here it is.
Yeah. Now, it turns out if you know me, you know I'm super open to debate. In fact, I am Israeli, so I love debate. So, you know, I'm all for it, but I don't do it in a way that invites it. So I've had to really work on that. Go, all right, team, here's my idea. What would you do to strengthen it? What holes do you see in my thinking? Like, I've had to really work on presenting myself in a way that allows that space for constructive conflict. Because I think sometimes as leaders, we go, well, step up. If you don't agree, say it. It's not as easy as you think, right?
Mm-hmm. But I even love how you just framed it. Like, how would you strengthen it? Mm. Right? Which is very distinct from like, what other ideas do you have? Right? Yeah. So just in the world of like how you're framing, like really getting clear, the thing that, right, again, people try not to be attached to their ideas. And we all love to hear, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I love that idea.
Don't call my baby ugly.
Right, right. That whole world of it. And so I think there is, I love your idea of the 10th man. And what I see that's a little bit like what would it look like if it was the opposite, right? Mm. There's
like playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, like playing the whole devil's advocate side of it. And not even like, I think people get twisted or get weird in conflict as soon as they feel like someone is saying that they are wrong, like who they are as a human being in the world. Yeah. That basically people are terrified of being perceived as stupid,
yep.
Right? Terrified, absolutely terrified. And so there is like, how do you acknowledge and appreciate all the different contributions while still being like, yeah, I beg to differ, or here's the disconnect I see, or, you know, something I think that's missing is, or, well, I don't know, they did try that other place, and not to say we couldn't try it, but what would we do because that didn't work out so well for them?
So I have a couple tips on that,
Particularly
when it comes to innovation, and I think you probably add some around culture in general, but here's one thing I'd say, and that's actually a few reasons why this is good. One is I have learned that, first of all, the round table where we're all facing each other and sharing ideas forces us to pit ourselves against each other. Mm. What actually works better is to have every, and you can do group brainstorming and ideations. I'm not saying you can't, but
right. What
works better is to actually have everything written, get things on sticky notes and up on the wall, and then debate what's on the wall.
Mm.
Even if it's your idea, it's not about you, because I'm not like giving you the Vulcan mind stare of like, Chris, let me tell you what I think about your idea, right? Right? So I'm actually debating the ideas on the wall. And that actually makes a huge difference. It's a tiny little thing. It also actually includes the introverts in the room. So there's kind of other reasons why that matters. But we've got to move away from like, I'm debating you, to I'm debating that idea solution thing, right? So that's in a brainstorm. But let's say you're on a Zoom meeting, one-on-one, or in a hallway, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like to first seek to understand, because then you're more open to the debate. That's been my experience. So Chris, if you come to me and you say, Tamara, I have this idea. Actually, it happened to me this morning. I'll share with you. A colleague called me and said, Tamara, I have this idea. What do you think? First of all, never end with what do you think, because that forces me into an up or down vote. I either love it or I hate it. Say things like, what would you do to strengthen it? What holes do you see and how would you fill it? So that's a whole separate podcast too of like the language of innovation. But we do a lot of that in our tribe, because I think communicating innovation matters just as much. But if I say to you, sorry, let me go back to my story, right? So this person called me and said, what do you think? I wanted to launch into all the holes so that I could give her that debate. And that was my honest feedback. But before that, I said, hold on, help me understand why you're looking to do this. Like, what is the outcome you're looking for? And so first of all, I got more context. So I'm not just debating to debate and I'm not debating her. She's now more open because I'm actually seeking to understand, truly seeking to understand first before I give feedback or before I debate her. And then I debated and we had a great conversation and we got it to a better place because I had context and I got to show her the holes in her thinking. So I think there has to be a level of seeking to understand that happens first. And we often miss that and we launch into debate, and that's why it's not taken well.
Yeah. I love the seeking to understand first, because like you said, context, I would assert context is everything.
Yeah.
Going back to like your last, the last podcast that we literally just, you know, we just did, right? But where like, if you're not even present to the context of like, okay, why are we asking this question?
Right.
Yeah. And the thing that occurs to me too, I remember a gentleman who ran a company, and one of the things he did with his team is that if someone brought up an idea, everyone was to plus one it first. Like, be like, you know, I see how that could work in this way, or I like that idea because.
Right.
Which I just like that. And then people could get into, and, you know, here's what I'm concerned about, or here's, because we are looking for, you know, red flags that we don't see. There is a piece where we're looking for that from people, as well as validation for our brilliance. You know, it's always this interesting combo platter, but that's how people know to contribute, is to say, hey, there's this big red flag that you're not seeing.
Right. And I do want to point out something, because you do this really well, and I think it's important to conflict. There is a difference between saying and but. And someone explained it to me this way. But negates everything that was just said.
Yeah.
And builds on it. So you can and debate. And I think it's actually a really important, tiny, but powerful distinction. So if someone comes to me and says, here's my idea, and I go, but blah, 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 I'm negating everything that was said before.
Yeah.
if you come to me and say, here's my idea, and I go, huh, interesting, and I might look at this because blah, 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 it's I'm still getting to constructive conflict. In fact, I am getting to it. I'm just doing it in a way that doesn't minimize what was already said. Where I have an issue with yes, but versus yes, and is we take that as anyone who disagrees with me, I should ignore. And anyone who agrees with me obviously gets my brilliance and we should go off. But first of all, the reality is we need those other people to get our ideas implemented, right? We can't innovate alone. And second, we need them to poke holes because they have perspectives and different ways of thinking, going back to different everyday innovator styles that we don't have. So we're really doing ourselves a disservice by not allowing them to challenge our thinking and to being open to that. The most confident person I've ever met was this VP at this company who regularly in meetings where everybody was trying to prove how right they were, right? What would say, help me understand because like I'm seeing this different perspective. And he was open to receiving that. And I think that really matters. And I think, again, what it really all boils down to is you can't have a solid culture and you can't get to innovation if everybody is group thinking and just yesing all the time and there's no room for real conflict. And just a little bit back to my original story about the like, I have a clarifying question. All that does is make me angrier. I don't know about you, but like, cause I know that you're just covering up that you don't agree with me. So just say it.
Well, and if there's healthy debate that's allowed, then it actually is a clarifying question, right? Yeah. But if we all know we're just here being really nice, we're just so nice and we're so polite. We're so polite and so nice.
Yes.
And we get really nice answers, you know, like forget about being competitive. Like it's just not, or like forget about innovation. And it's, tomorrow I'll just share with you, I won't go into the whole world of it, but literally on a call this morning, I was talking to a gentleman from the Kettering Foundation, which is an amazing, amazing foundation, about my Hello Bench project. Uh-huh. And
oh, we should at the end, you should just, let's loop back to that.
Yeah. Well, he came from the side to give a whole way of thinking about it that was not there for me. Mm. And it's funny because I had to really be with, there was a part of me that came to that call that just wanted to hear how great the idea was.
Obviously.
Right? And actually what I walked away with was way more valuable than any ego strokes, right? Like, but I think we have to check ourselves when we come to those conversations. And we say like, well, what do you think? Versus like, you know, how can you strengthen this idea? I think when we ask people, what do you think? Often, right? Again, we just like, there's a validation piece and really just giving that up. And we're like, no, I actually want to get to the heart of what's going to make this powerful and effective and like have us kick some booty.
So I have a colleague who is also in the webinar speaking space, different topics, different business model, but she does a lot of webinars too. And she did her first public webinar, meaning not client driven, but like sold seats and did it. And I attended because I wanted to support her and so I could give her feedback. And she called me afterwards. And one of the things I've always been so impressed with her is she is so open to the feedback that I didn't feel like I had to couch my words. I didn't feel like I had to worry about hurting her feelings. I mean, I obviously made sure to say everything in a respectful way because I do respect her. But the fact that she, I mean, I'm always so impressed with her willingness and her openness to have that debate. And she would debate with me and be like, yeah, but the reason I did that was blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, okay, but not but, and, because but does negate. I'd say, and a different perspective as an attendee is this. And we got to a better place. So I think constructive conflict is sorely missed in teams. I really do. I think we're so busy trying to like each other and we miss the diversity of thinking because we're not tapping people's different perspective and experiences and ideas and jobs because we're too busy trying to yes and each other in that bad way. And you know, it's funny, in a webinar I did recently, someone said, but what do you do if like you're scared to debate? And this is a longer conversation, but my argument or my suggestion there is you need to look at the psychological safety of the team then. Like there's an underlying issue with vulnerability and trust mm-hmm. and feeling valued and heard if you can't get to constructive conflict. So sometimes you got to back up from the innovation of what I'm doing. And Chris, talk to you about culture because there's an issue that's keeping that from happening. And it could be one person, it could be the leader, or it could be something bigger in the team.
Yeah, and there really is. I mean, it's a powerful opening. Like, if you're someone who's scared to debate.
Yeah.
And again, it can range from everything from like, you're like, oh, well, the last person who got debated got fired the next day. Like, that's one thing.
Yeah, well, that's a whole, like, extreme
level. That's a whole other world. But if it is really just, like, uncomfortable, right, you actually have the opportunity to go to someone and say, you know, I have an idea that I'd really like to share with you around what you're working on, but it may not be easy to hear, and I'm a little bit nervous to share it with you because I really, like, I get who you are as a commitment to this organization and what you're trying to create, and I know you work really hard and spend a lot of hours on this, but I really see something that I think could make the difference. Can I share that with you?
I like it. You know, here's the other thing I'd add to that. Someone has to be the first person.
Yep.
And you hope that leadership sets this tone and the stage because that's their job. Mm-hmm. But someone has to step up and be the first person. And, you know, I'll tell you, Chris, early in my career, I think we can all agree I have no filters. So it's easy.
You tomorrow.
I think it's a fair statement. So sometimes things don't come out the way I mean them or appropriately because I just, if I think it, I say it, right? Like there's just no like, let me filter that first. But I will tell you early on in my career, you know, when I was growing up in the ranks, this was in advertising on Madison Avenue. That was my first job out of college. This was mid 90s and it was very Mad Men still in those days, right? And very hierarchical. And I think we all started drinking it 11 a.m. every day. Like it was exactly what you think Mad Men is. That happened. So, but here's the thing. When I was at that point in my career, it's very different now. I was not expected to speak up. I was expected to sit there and listen, right? I was lucky to be in those meetings to listen. You had to pay your dues. It was a little bit of a different experience. And I was very fortunate. I had some amazing bosses who recognized like, hey, maybe we actually want to pay attention, not just me, but like all the junior people and actually listen to them. They're on our team. Why aren't we asking them their opinion? I'll never forget, I'm in this meeting and it's like the head of these departments and then our clients who are these mucky mucks, like big time, like fancy people. My vision of them is like, they were so professional, right? And I remember my boss turning to me and going, because the product was actually skewed slightly younger than all of them. And saying, well, what do you think? And I froze because not only did they want my opinion, but I didn't agree with theirs. So now I was in this weird situation where I was like, oh shit. Right. Like now what do I do? Do I say, I think you guys are onto something. Great job. Right. Or do I speak the truth and say, here's how I might adjust that. So I decided to speak the truth, but I was sweating underneath it all. Just so you all know, this was not easy for me. And I said, well, I see where your guys are trying to go. I might add this to the conversation, right? And I disagree. And I said, and here's why. And I, you know, showed them like why I might be wrong. Here's the interesting part about that. Then the person across the table who was much older than me and had been on the team for years was like, you know, I've actually been thinking something similar. And started debating with something else. And suddenly it gave room for everybody to debate. And I just want to be clear, I don't give myself a ton of credit. It wasn't like I did something brilliant and opened up. I just first froze, then started sweating, and then decided, oh my God, if I don't tell them what I think, and it turns out what we do is wrong, I look like an idiot too. Like it was self-preservation, in all honesty. But that was a really powerful experience for me because I learned that like, hey, somebody has to start and do it in a respectful and real way, and then you can get to that place.
Well, and Tamar, I do want to point to you now use the term respectful, like you said it with your friend who did the webinar, and then also
a lot actually. I said it like 10 times. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think that there is such a key. People, I think, they fear the conflict and they fear speaking up, right? All that.
God, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, it's going to be hard and loud and angry and, you know, like that. And it's like, no, like it actually, and I think we actually said this in the last conversation, but it really, like when you're kind, candid, and constructive.
Yes, I love that language.
Yeah, and where you're coming from a place of care, concern, and curiosity, and not from a place of judgment or assumption. So who you were being in that moment when you spoke up is like, And I realized it was self-preservation and sweating and all that, but still, right? Like you were bold, you were courageous, but you also like you cared.
Right. I wanted the best outcome for all of us, which is
right. Yeah. And so I think that's just, if people know that that's where you're coming from, like, it's because I care that I'm being bold and bringing this up.
Yeah.
Like, cause I could just be quiet and hang out and not put myself on the line, but you know what? Like, I really care what we're up to in this organization. And I really care about this team. And I really care about if we're going to put all this sweat, effort, blood and tears into this product, you know, that it works. So
I think that's how that's the place we have to assume that most of us are coming from, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the other lesson I've had more recently is, and it'd be interesting, I don't know if you see this, I'll be working with a team and I'll be doing some discovery interviews before we work together. And there'll be someone on the team that everybody is afraid of or that everybody thinks is going to be the most negative person in the world, or they're the ones, oh, it's going to be great, but you got to watch out for Angela because she's super negative and will shut down everything, right? And I'm like, okay, good to know. Then here's what happens. We set up a space for constructive conflict, right? Like that's part of our agreement in the beginning. So the meeting goes on, Angela speaks up and does her yes, but blah, 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 blah. So maybe the way she doesn't isn't the best. She hasn't been trained in it the way we have, right? And she doesn't think about it the way we do. So maybe the way she says it kind of sucks, but she's poking a hole in something and you see everybody roll their eyes. Like here goes Angela again, right? Like shutting all of us down. And then my job as a facilitator, right, is to pull out information. So I say to Angela, huh, that's an interesting perspective. Like, tell me what makes you concerned about that. And then how would you overcome it? And suddenly Angela lights up and her challenge is valid. And she actually helps us get to a better place. And now, and I'm not the hero of the story. Angela's actually the hero, because what really ended up happening in the meetings like that, in those situations, is that the rest of the team realizes, okay, yeah, Angela's approach maybe needs some refining, but she actually has some really invaluable points and opinions that we were afraid to hear because we don't like conflict. That's actually what was happening.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love you, Tamara, for saying that, because I have the same situation where they're like
there's
one person, you got to be careful for them. And it's, and you did exactly what I do, which I recommend to all of your people who are listening. I say bear hug conflict, right? So
yes,
conflict shows up, right? And to step towards it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And highlight it and underline it and be like, tell me more. Like, what's behind that? What do you see? And I actually like the questions that you put forth, right, to tease out some solution-oriented pieces around that. But I just, you know, people get so terrified and they step back and away and, oh, we don't want to go there. Or,
right.
Like, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, the gold is there. Like that's like step towards it. So yeah.
Without sharing the details, I'll tell you, me, and funny enough, a woman named Angela, that's not at all who I was referencing a moment ago. We're in a group together. Right. And I would say, wouldn't you say, so let me back up. We're in a business mastermind. It's the easiest way to describe it. Right. And I'd say we present our thinking in the stage that we're in and what we're building for feedback. And I would say that we spend a decent amount of time then debating. I wouldn't say that we go into like, love it. Sometimes we love it. And sometimes we're like, awesome. And here's what I would change. But the last one we were on, we actually had a pretty robust debate about a few things. Because of that, we got something better out of it. And this idea that came, the solution that came out of it is 100 times better than it would have been had we tried to like kowtow around the debate that needed to happen. It needed to happen. We did not agree. We were not coming from the same place, but we all know that we're all there to improve, right? So it's good. But I mean, wouldn't you say like, that's a great example of it's important. Constructive conflict is so important to innovation and to meaningful solutions. It is a lot harder to get there when you hide from conflict. That's why I call it constructive conflict, because it's not about yelling. It's not about fighting. It really is about being willing to debate each other and respect each other's perspective and opinions and use them to come together in a stronger way. But to your point, we run away from it. So we don't. We just, instead, we fear it.
Yeah. And one other thing to put in is that it creates an extraordinary workplace conflict.
Culture.
It creates an extraordinary workplace culture because, again, your relationships are richer for when people are a stand for your success.
Right.
Right. And that's what we were doing. It's like, we really care about, you know, the outcomes of one another's efforts. And so we're going to go there and be courageous and put ourselves at, quote unquote, at risk. And because of that, we can count on each other in a way that you can't with people that you're walking on eggshells with. You just can't.
So I want to share just one other quick story. This is a little bit about culture, but I think it leads to innovation. In fact, it really does. So there were two teams at this company I used to work for, and these two different leaders. And at one point we did one of these, as it's called, 360 reviews, where like your peers, your bosses, and the people that work for you review you. And the two, and then they made the feedback, I don't want to say public, but they were pretty transparent about it. That was part of the process that we went through. And one of the leaders got the feedback of like, really nice, really fun, really whatever, hard to work for, interestingly, right? Challenging to work for, feel like innovation is stifled, feel like my creativity is stifled. The other leader got the feedback of always know where I stand, can be blunt, but always know where I stand, really allows me to have a voice. And something else, right? So, but you get the point. And I never forget, because I was on both teams, and the leader that didn't get the best reviews, the one who got the whole, like, people like me, but I'm hard to work for, came to me and said, what's the problem? Like, I don't understand. Like, everybody likes me. Like, I'm trying so hard to be liked. And it was an interesting conversation. I just had to tell her, like, listen, this is not about who's more popular or who's a nicer person. You're both great in different ways. But on that team, I feel like we have room to debate, and I can be strong in my voice, and I know when I've done something wrong and when I've done it right. With you, I feel like you're so busy trying to get me to like you that none of that happens. And it was an aha moment for both of us, actually, because I don't know that I could have articulated why I liked being on the blunt person's team more than the nice person's team, but there was a huge difference. And if you ask their boss the difference in their output, that their boss will tell you, the output on the blunt person's team was way more powerful. Now, I'm not saying go out there and suddenly be like super blunt if that's not who you are, but I think the point there is like that team allowed for debate and conflict and disagreement and differences and uniquenesses, and that team did not.
Yeah. I see it.
Problem solved.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that combo platter of kind and candid.
Yeah, that's great. I love the way you said that.
Like, it doesn't work.
And, you know, I didn't have that language before, but I will tell you that before I disagree with someone, I ask myself, is this kind and candid? Now, I don't know that that's a language I used before, but that's a better way to say it. Because am I coming from a place of, like, good intent for the betterment of the team, or am I being snarky? Because we can all do that sometimes. And, right, I'm not saying I do that all the time, just sometimes. I mean, we all do it. It's human nature, right? And is this constructive? Like, is debating this going to be a constructive comment? If I think the answer is yes, then I'm going to say it. But I want to loop it all back to say that somebody has to start. And it may be uncomfortable, and it may be awkward, and it may be a little bit risky. But if nobody starts it, it never happens.
I think that's your mic drop, Tamara.
Done. So I'll just close out by saying that, hey, I think, Chris, what you said, don't fear debate, right? Or don't fear conflict. It's actually really wonderful. Bear hug it. I think that's how you said it.
Bear hug the conflict.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, and we have one more that we're going to record, but tell us about Hello Bench, just so that people know, because it's so amazing what you're doing.
I'll make this short. So with Choose People, we're all about creating emotional intimacy in workplaces. That's actually the secret ingredient to having an amazing workplace culture. And the Hello Bench project, we're really looking at, like, how do you create emotional intimacy in public spaces? Mm-hmm. And so basically creating real deal connection and conversation in our communities, in our neighborhoods, through this really innovative bench. So go check out hellobenchproject.com if you want to learn more.
We'll put the link in the show notes, all the show notes for that too, because it's phenomenal. I will tell you, I was just reminded as you were talking about a real constructive conflict moment we had with you, me, and another person where you showed us the bench for feedback.
Yeah.
And you got a little bit, I don't want to say lambasted, but you got some pushback on a few things, and that really helped, right? Take it to a new place.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have known if they had not pointed out where they're like, duh. And I was like, oh, you're right. thank goodness. Thank goodness. Yep.
All right. I'm going to end this one. We'll be back for one more in a minute.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.